Hello, friends. I'm Jeff Wolfe. I'm a revivalist and an author, and this is my podcast. I'm going to share God's word with you over the next few moments, and my prayer is that you will be inspired, empowered, and encouraged. Thanks for joining me. Hey, friends, I'm glad you joined me for the podcast this week. We are well into season 3. This is episode 2. It is my pleasure to bring to you another special guest as we continue the discussion about revival in a post-pandemic America. I don't believe the doom and gloom that everyone is talking about. I hope that you don't. I hope that you have turned off the news and have begun to separate yourself from the negativity that we are bombarded with, and that you have turned to the Word of God and the prophecies of old to realize that we are in a last day set up for the outpouring of a mighty revival. God is not dead. He has not relinquished his throne. The church is not dead. God is bringing revival to America and to the world. This week, I want to talk to a good friend of mine, Bishop Les Higgins, about this topic. I've known Bishop Higgins for a long time. He has served the Church of God in many, many capacities as evangelist, pastor, as a state youth and CE director in many states, and a state overseer. But above all else, those who know Les Higgins know him as a Christian gentleman and a powerful gospel preacher. Every time I speak to Les, he leaves me feeling uplifted and encouraged, and I hope that today you will also be encouraged by Bishop Les Higgins. In this topic of revival, I have really sought the Lord to reach out to some guests that are, their heart is in preaching the word and evangelizing. And if you were to ask me, name 5 men or women who are preachers extraordinaire, Les Higgins would definitely be in that 5 in my book. I'll never forget the first time, Bishop, that I heard you preach at Northern Ohio Camp Meeting, and you just stood flat-footed and preached a message on praise and worship. Don't remember what the title was, but you had me excited. And when you can excite a preacher with your preaching, you know you've done something. Bishop Higgins, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to be with you. So grateful for your ministry and the impact that you're making. You're a blessing to the kingdom and a blessing to me. It's a high honor today to have this opportunity to sit here with you.
Well, I know you're busy, and I know you've got a portfolio to handle, but I appreciate you being here as part of this.
Thank you.
I mentioned this to Joel Talley last week, who is the last guest I had. As you can imagine, having Joel Talley as a guest, I just had to, you know, turn him loose and let him talk for a while. But I mentioned something to him that I want to reiterate to you in terms of my own personal journey in ministry. And that is, just recently, I, in conversation with a friend, came upon the subject of vision and mission, and was asked to basically consolidate my vision for ministry into one word. And after some contemplation, that word for me is revival. Everything that I do, everything that I have in my heart to do, everything the Lord has spoken to me over my life in ministry, which for me now, as I started preaching when I was 15 years old, and so now I'm 30 some odd years into this. And I have always, of all of the roles that I have fulfilled, my greatest passion and love has always been the office of the evangelist. And I know that you and I share that in common. You have held just about every position there is to hold in the Church of God in ministry. And I know you to be a preacher. Above all that, I know you to be a solid, compassionate, passionate gospel preacher. And I believe that revival is happening in the United States of America. And so I want to talk to you about your perspective as you travel the nation And I follow you on Facebook, so I see when and where you're preaching. And I want to hear your heart and your observations over the next few moments, if you will, about what you see in terms of a post-pandemic America preaching the gospel and how this crisis has affected the hunger of people and the move of God around this country as you see it.
Well, there's no doubt that that the church has been impacted by the pandemic. All of our society has been, and the church is not exempt from that. Things are different now. You travel and you visit churches, and you understand the challenges that the local church is facing now due to the change in climate. So things are not as they were prior to the pandemic. But honestly, I see this as a tremendous opportunity for the church. Backing up just a little bit, looking at how God took care of us during the pandemic, yes. How God intervened for us. Can you imagine, had we been told, prior to the pandemic, that we would be without the opportunity of having indoor church, that we would be for numbers of weeks unable to meet together as the church, that we would be able to even survive that time and still have our local church. It would have been hard for us to imagine that being possible. But not only did we survive, but we watched God move during those difficult days. I've had numbers of pastors tell me that that during those days they were unable to meet as the church in their building, that members of the community who weren't even a part of their church gave large gifts to the church to ensure that the church would be able to continue its ministry. That was God. God intervened for us and took care of us during that time.
I'll interject here, if I will, Bishop, if I could, that as I talked to pastors around the country during that time, almost overwhelmingly, almost a majority of those pastors said that even in that season when they couldn't meet in their churches, that they were breaking tithe records, that giving went up, and that God miraculously supplied in those times.
I've heard those same stories, and to me that is just good evidence that God is with us and God is taking care of us. So a great challenge, but yet we watch God work, and we witnessed His hand intervene and provide for us. Mm-hmm. But now we come to the day that we decide, where do we go from here, and how do we do ministry now with the changes that have come? Most pastors tell me that not everyone is back in the building with them. Attendance is still not as strong as it was prior to the pandemic. That's in most churches, I believe. And that's a concern, I think, to most pastors. Pastors are shepherds, and they care about their flock. And it's very alarming when all of the flock is not together. And so that is probably one of the primary things on the mind right now of a pastor. But with all of those challenges and all of those things that we're facing, I'm still optimistic that our best days are in front of us. I read a statement recently by Tom Rainer when he was talking about this very thing, when he said pastors may have to accept the reality that not everybody's coming back. And some of those folks that have chosen to stay away may not be back. And whether we want that to be the case or not, that's probably the reality. And so we have to decide, if that is the case, what happens now? And I think the answer is what you've just been talking about since we've been on this podcast for a few moments, It's a revival. It's a move of God. And I think that maybe the Lord is bringing us back to a time that we could have perhaps strayed away from, even unintentionally, of focusing on fundamentals again, of praying and equipping the saints and evangelizing our communities. That's the call of God to the church. That was His call to us from the beginning, and it remains His call today. And so it's probably time for us to just kind of, as we used to say, buckle down and recognize we have challenges. There are things that aren't going to be like they used to be, but we're still the church. God is with us. God has a plan for us.
Yes.
And we've just got to align with His will and be who He's called us to be.
I echo and agree with everything that you just said. And I think that I would add to that, that where there may be a decline of attendance, and I don't think there's one pastor in America that has not experienced that phenomenon of not everyone is coming back, that the ones that are coming back are displaying a hunger and a thirst for a move of God unlike we've seen perhaps in my generation.
And I think, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I can just say in my own experiences, I've traveled, that I have experienced an uptick in hunger. People are just ready. People are tired of being locked down. They're tired of all of the negative news. Anytime you turn on the television to try to apprise yourself of what's happening in the world, it's negativity, negativity, negativity. Nothing positive is coming across the airwaves, and they're tired of that. They're tired of feeling like they are restricted. They're tired of all of the nonsense, and they are hungry for a move of God. And I've experienced that. Have you experienced that same thing as you have traveled?
Absolutely. And I think that's being stirred in us by the Holy Spirit. He has a plan for this time. We can say it quite simply that this did not surprise God. Right. And God was very aware that it was coming. And so everything is good in heaven today. There are no signs of worry or frustration in heaven. They know exactly what's going on. And I do believe the Holy Spirit is stirring in His people a hunger for the things of God again.
Yes.
It's obvious to me and to anyone who pays attention that government doesn't have our answer. The things that we placed our confidence in over the last many years have failed us. Everywhere we look, the things that we've depended on are just not stable anymore. We understand today, those of us who know God understand today that He is our answer. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, there's a renewed sense of seeking Him and reaching up to Him and desiring His intervention. That is what brings revival. You know that. I know that. It's when we hunger and thirst. It's when we call out to Him that He hears us and He answers us. So that's why I'm so excited about this day, and I see that. I talked to a pastor of a very small church in Alabama just a few weeks ago who has been witnessing such a fresh move of God in his community. He's been gathering with the other pastors in the community, not just Church of God or even Pentecostal pastors, but pastors that are hungry for the move of the Spirit again. And God is moving in that community. And this local church that I'm talking about is growing and experiencing a fresh wind of the Spirit. And this has all been brought about by a pandemic, by the challenges brought by the pandemic have brought these people to a place of wanting to get together and wanting to seek the Lord again in a fresh way. And I just tell you, when that becomes commonplace, God is going to hear and respond to that. And I am just looking forward to where it leads us.
I will follow up and say that in Scripture, crisis always precedes a revival. And I think this is the greatest crisis that has faced our nation in many, many decades. And this crisis has brought about not only the need for revival, but I believe it has set us up for revival. Joel Talley said something last week that really piqued my interest. I began to look into it. I knew it to be true, but I had never studied it. You know how we preachers are. We hear somebody else say something. We're like, that's good. I got to find out, you know, where that goes. And he mentioned Jonah, and he said there are times when God could have sent judgment, but he sent revival instead. And he cited Jonah and how Nineveh had definitely rightly deserved the judgment of God, but instead of judgment, God sent revival. And he sent Jonah there to preach the gospel and to tell them to turn from their wicked way, and God sent revival. And I believe that Jerusalem, on the day of Pentecost, just 50 days or so after Jesus was crucified, that those in Jerusalem were deserving of God's judgment, but instead of judgment, God sent revival. And I believe that if there is ever a time when America deserved the judgment of God, God in His grace has set us up for revival. And I have always felt since the beginning of this pandemic that when history tells the tale, when it's told in the history of the church, it's not the pandemic that we're going to be remembered for. It's going to be, this season is going to be remembered for the revival that came from this crisis. I believe that with all of my heart. And the more I talk to people,
that's the loving Father.
Absolutely. And the more I talk to people, the more I talk to preachers and pastors, the more I am hearing this very same thing, that revival is on the horizon. Of course, we've been preaching for our entire ministry that the greatest revival to come to America has not yet happened, the great last day outpouring. And Joel said, as he prophesied under the power of the Holy Spirit, that in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And we've always preached that. I've always felt like my generation was that generation. That, you know, but now I can see as I get older, I'm starting to have dreams and less visions. So I think I'm starting to get just a little older now. Old men dream dreams, and young men see visions, and I'm starting to dream. And maybe it's the Lord telling me I'm getting older. I don't know. But I really do believe a lot of this crisis has set us up, especially the church, or a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
And I think the beauty of the revival that I see coming, and that I believe perhaps is already started in some places, is that it's going to not be like some revivals in days gone by. We look back at the history of the church, and there have been times of a real move of the Spirit that's been known as by geographical area or by a particular evangelist. We denote those revivals by those locations or by those preachers. I don't think that's going to be the case now, Jeff. I just believe that the Lord is moving across this nation and across this world. It's going to be a fire here and a fire there and a fire over here. It's not going to be a hero evangelist that comes through town, but it's going to be people who are hungry for God, that are just ready for the Lord to do something fresh and new in their midst. And don't be surprised who God uses, and don't be surprised where it takes place. Because it's not going to be about a place or a person. It's going to be about the presence of God. And that's an exciting thing. That lets me know I can be a part of it. That lets me know that I can participate. And I'm looking forward to it. I just think that it's important for us to tune in, to align with him, to not put preconceived ideas out front and tell God how he has to do it, but be ready to simply say, Lord, here we are, hungry for your presence. And as we seek him, he will do the rest. And that takes a lot of pressure off of us. All we've got to do is seek him. Does. All we have to do is invite him to do his thing. And he's going to do that.
Just about an hour ago, I wrote down, revival points to Jesus. It doesn't point to a church. Doesn't point to a personality or popularity. And I really believe that. I have often asked God, you know, why me and how me? I realize that God has a plan and a purpose for my life, for your life, and our ministries, and whoever is called of God. I feel the calling of the evangelist, the revivalist, on my life. Have since I was 15 years old. And I've always, you know, measured where I am with my vision, as we all do. And I've often asked God, Lord, why me? And I don't have... this may be a shock to some, but I don't have much of a personality. And what I mean when I say that is I'm an introvert. I am not an extrovert by any means. And when I get into the pulpit, I still have to overcome that introvert that is my character and my personality in order to deliver the word. And by God's grace and his anointing, I've been able to do that over the last 30 years. But I still struggle with that. And so I'm not like some of these other colleagues of mine who are just full of charisma and personality. And so because of that, I've often asked the Lord, why did you pick me? Why did you pick somebody who doesn't have much of a face for radio, so to speak? But and the Lord just has whispered in my ear so many times. And we all know this, but sometimes I think God has to remind us it's not about you. It's about me and what I will do through you, and the revival never points to you anyway. It always points back to me. So it's encouraging to me that even as I get older and even as I have been seasoned in ministry, the Lord still reminds me that he can use me even in my flawed personality, even in my failures and my mistakes and my ignorance. God can still use me to bring about revival. And I think there are a lot of people out there like I am that maybe feel inadequate. I've always struggled with just inferiority my entire life. I'm talking too much now. I've struggled with that my entire life since I was a child. And it's nobody's fault. It's just something, it's a thorn in the flesh for me. And because of that, I've always pushed myself. I've always been my worst critic. And the Lord is still reminding me, if you'll just speak what I put in your mouth, I'll take care of the rest. And I say that to encourage any pastor, any preacher out there that feels like that you are insignificant, that feels like that you are just a number, that God has your number. And God called you for a reason and a purpose, and he has put a word in your mouth. And when you eat the scroll like Jeremiah did, all you have to do is open your mouth and speak it, and God will do the rest. Keep preaching even when there's no people to preach to. A lot of pastors, most pastors, had to preach to a video camera for several months as we talk into video cameras. And I did the same thing. I had to learn how to preach to a GoPro. And it's uncomfortable because you have to learn how to open up your mouth and speak what God's given you with no feedback. And now... I just, once a week, this is my platform, whether I'm traveling or I'm not traveling. The Lord puts a word in my heart, and I release that. And I believe that because of that, the Word of God is spreading more quickly, more rapidly than ever before in history because of the technology that we've afforded ourselves.
But you know, I'm just confident that this could be what God is doing today, that this is his plan. I look throughout the scripture at the men and women that God used. Most of the time, they didn't volunteer for service.
Right.
Most of the time, they weren't looking for a job, but God found them in their flawed condition, in their situations, and even when they made suggestions to God that he perhaps should choose someone else, God said, no, I've got a plan for you, and I want to use you. And that's what he's doing today, even with the challenges that we're facing via the pandemic or whatever else we may be going through. Mm-hmm. God is just saying to us, I choose you, I'm going to anoint you,
amen,
and I'm going to use you. But there's no doubt it's not going to happen in me unless God does it.
Right.
God's going to get the glory. God is going to be the one that receives the honor.
Yep.
And that's the way it's supposed to be.
That's the way I feel.
Maybe the day of the spiritual celebrity, that super duper hero preacher, I'm just not sure that's the direction that we're heading now.
Yep.
That those days may be closer to an end than some would even want to admit. And God is ready just to pour his spirit out upon all flesh. He's ready to touch the old and the young, the male and the female, the people of all races, people from any side of the tracks. It doesn't matter to God. He is saying, if you'll come to me, give yourself to me, I'll use you today. And that's the revival that he's sending. That's the move of God that we're about to see. It's not going to be focused on a man. It's not going to be focused on a location. It's going to point men to Jesus.
Yes.
And all who want to participate can. Pastor, I'd be encouraged today. I know that there's a lot going on to discourage you, and everyone wants the building full. Everyone wants everything rolling the way we've always dreamed and the way the conferences tell us it's supposed to happen. But today, things are just not like they've been. And so instead of laying down and feeling sorry for myself and dreaming about the way it used to be, I'm ready to take where I am and say, God, this is what I've got to offer. Can you use it? And I think we're going to be pleasantly happy to learn that, yes, he can and he will.
He can.
And revival fires can burn. I think one of the keys today, though, praise God. One of the keys today is that we be very sensitive to the harvest.
Yeah.
And that we allow the Lord of the harvest to lead us to his harvest. There is something that the Holy Spirit has just been dealing with me about so much over the past many months. And I've called it the principle of the ripe and harvest, making sure that we go after the ripened harvest. Sometimes my frustration in ministry has been when I spend most of my time on a harvest that's not ready. I have a particular group or particular person, someone that's dear to me that I want to touch and I want to win, and I'm reaching out to them, and it's possible that they're not ready yet. But while I am focusing my attention on that unripened one, there are two or three others around me that are ready, and my attention has got to go to them. I'm not going to forget anybody. I'm going to pray for my family. I'm going to pray for those people that used to come to my church but don't come anymore. I'm not giving up on anybody, but I'm not going to spend all of my time focusing on a harvest that's not ripened when there is a harvest all around me that is. And if somehow today I can be a good gardener and go out and harvest the produce that's ripe, I think God will Give me the harvest that I desire. That son or daughter, that one that's been dear to me for years, but they've strayed away. They'll come back. I'll be able to win them as well, but I don't want to lose a harvest that's ready to reach one that may not be ready yet. As a pastor, as an evangelist, as a vessel that God is going to use in these last days, in this revival, I just want to again align with His will, recognize the ripened harvest, and let Him use me to win it. And when we give our attention to those kinds of things, we're going to see the harvest come in. And that's the Lord's plan for these days anyway. It's all about winning lost people to Him.
Amen. Well, bishops, thank you so much for taking this time out with me again. Tell me a little bit about your book and how folks can get a hold of it.
Thanks, Jeff. I wrote this book actually during the pandemic. It sort of all came together. It had been in my heart for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. As a state youth director, I used to spend a lot of time in local churches working with leaders and doing the best I could to develop those local leaders. And so as a result of those experiences and a lot of extra time on my hands, and I believe also the nudging of the Holy Spirit, I put together a little study called Fire Up Leadership, Principles to Guide Local Church Leaders. It's a very simply written book, few chapters that local leaders can go through and apply those principles to their local context. And God is using the book, and I'm very grateful for that. It can be purchased from my website, leshiggins.com, leshiggins.com. Go there and take a look at it. There's a little bit of information, and I think it could be a blessing to local churches. It's written for the local church. It's written for leaders in the local church, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to mention that today.
No problem. Like we discussed earlier, you know, having you on has doubled my viewership. So this isn't your first book, is it?
It is my first book. It is. Okay. I've been writing for years, articles, and I've got a blog that mm-hmm. I write, and you can find that on that website as well. But it is the first book, and I'm working on my second one now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you and I both know that authoring is not for the faint of heart. You know, when you set out to write a book and you get into it, at least for me, I thought to myself, what in the world have I gotten myself into? But it is a huge learning process, isn't it? You go into it with one idea, and that idea becomes two ideas, and then three ideas. And a friend of mine once said to me that a book is like a work of art. It never finished, but abandoned. Eventually, you have to decide, I've got to stop writing now.
It
made a lot of sense to me. But I'm so thankful again. I know you're a busy man. I appreciate you taking the time out to share with me and share with folks who may watch and listen to this. I really appreciate your friendship and your time. You've been a friend to me over the years. And for the record, I would just like to say that in my book, you are still a preaching celebrity.
You're very kind, Jeff. I love you. Thank God for you. And it's been an exciting thing for me to sit back and watch you grow and to see the Lord use you. And you're a tremendous preacher of the gospel. I just thank the Lord for you and the gifts that you bring to the church. And I know your best days are in front of you.
Thank God that He is merciful and gracious toward us. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I've been having a conversation with Bishop Les Higgins about revival, is near and dear to both of our hearts. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation. I hope that you'll share this with someone who you think will enjoy the conversation. And my prayer for you is that God will continue to inspire you and empower you and equip you to move forward. God is good, and God is sending revival to this post-pandemic America. I want to be a part of it. I know you want to be a part of it. I believe that if we will open ourselves and avail ourselves to be vessels and conduits of the glory of the Lord, that we will experience an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this last day like we never have before. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you next time.
We're so glad you joined us today. Remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast provider and YouTube. For more information, go to jeffwolf.org. Are you one of the 268 million people around the world who are battling anxiety and depression? Jeff's new book addresses this pandemic of the mind. Mindemic: How Faith Can Help Us Overcome the Anxiety and Depression Crisis in America, will restore your hope and help you challenge the lies of the enemy in your mind. It's available on Amazon and at mindemic.org. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.